and found they were doing exactly the same thing we were doing, which was using the 12 steps and the 12 traditions to recover from an otherwise fatal illness. In that conversation, or one not long after that, Roseanne told us that they were about to have their first conference in Los Angeles, so we decided to go, so five of us went out there, representing the five groups of Gluttons Anonymous. At that time, Overeaters Anonymous had 16 groups. I don't guess I have to tell you what the vote was on the name of the merged organization. We of Gluttons Anonymous were not happy about that. I don't know that yet I'm happy about that. But that's the way it is. It's Overeaters Anonymous, but I'm a glutton. By this time, Norma and I both were at normal weight. And by the way, both Norma and John are now deceased. After almost 4 years of abstinence, I slipped. Slip is a poor word, in my opinion. Slip has connotations of an unavoidable act. You step on a patch of ice you couldn't see. You're walking along somewhere and something falls on you. Slips, for me, are not like that. I knew exactly what I was doing. And I hated it. But I had run out of other options. I had no choice any longer. And I thought I was so spiritual, hell, I knew the 12 steps by heart. How spiritual can you get? I thought I was so spiritual that I could get right back going again. Well, guess what? I didn't. I continued to go to meetings for 4 more years, both AA and OA. I gained over 100 pounds, and I finally gave up in March of 1968 and took all of my OA literature and materials and put them in a box and sealed it and put it in the closet and decided that spiritual awakenings were like school superintendents and Methodist preachers. They had a finite lifespan. They don't last forever, and they go away, and I've built up a large body of evidence to substantiate that belief, which simply went to prove, obviously, it was not my fault. You know, I was an innocent victim again of the natural end of a spiritual awakening, and consequently was going to keep eating again, and I did that. I never lost my concept of a higher power, however. That did stay with me during all that period of time. Finally, in November of 1985, I got a phone call from a guy named David in Dallas, member of OA, who said he had just been to a meeting in Los Angeles and that Roseanne was working on the history and she needed some of the materials I had and needed to talk to me and didn't know how to find me. Well, it was a lie. Roseanne had been to my home. I hadn't moved. She had my address and my telephone number. I have no idea why she sent him to do that. But he said, well, I need you. She asked me to have you, if I could find you, call her. I said, okay. So in a day or two, I called Roseanne. We fought a lot, but we have great respect for each other. And by the way, I was nice to David, but I wasn't particularly warm, I don't think. I really didn't want to hear from anybody in OA, but I called Roseanne and told her when I got back into the box someday that I'd send her the stuff that she was looking for. Kind of a friendly conversation, and tried to forget it. Well, oddly enough, I couldn't forget it. In December, I was driving somewhere and listening to the radio and heard someone talking about a retreat center near Burney, the little town with the bakery, that was offering personally tailored silent retreats. And I thought, wow,